This is Engineer Eric. You're listening to part one of our July 8th, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show. Roll 'em!
This part is a ball. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Final connection and engine engaged. Raise the monster.
Yes, yes.
Hey, we could have had a girl scream there, too.
It's time for the
Jimmy Doan Show.
Hey, featuring the birthday kid.
Oh, we have a call in.
DJ's calling
in. You just can't see it.
That's right. Thank you, Klinger.
It is 7-8-9 today.
7-8-9. Jimmy, how are you?
That's right.
At 12:34 and 56 seconds.
That's right.
It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And somebody said this won't happen again until, I guess I'll be pretty old by then, 3009. I might actually be on life support at that point.
Hang in there, Professor.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show!
Yeah, Jimmy Doan Show. Been a while, and I noticed Hangar Dog has like put out about 8 shows since we were on last time.
They're kicking our ass.
They're machines.
Yeah, that's right. They've gone crazy. And
great shows, man. And again, I've been back. I've been listening to their older shows, and it's just hilarious. You know, especially the light notes section. If you get bored and you're waiting on us to come out with a new show, either listen to our old shows, which is of course better.
Naturally,
listen to theirs because
what you do is you go to theirs and fast forward to the end.
Right.
And then that's
so
good.
Jimmy, what's happening? How are you? Who
lots
out here
to
today?
Talk about. Lots to talk about. People dying all over the place.
People dying. Well, yeah, right.
Politics,
I mean, we had a record death.
Record death.
Celebrity death.
Politics happening.
Celebrity slaughter.
European
celebrity slaughter.
That's right. Coincidence? I don't think so.
It wasn't one of the things that I heard. It was when Farrah Fawcett died, and she went up and she met God, and he asked her, "Is there anything you would like?" You know, and
I was kind of a big fan,
and immediately she said, "All I'd ask for is for the children of the world to be safe." And God thought for a second, says, "I can do that."
And we all know what happened.
That was the best one of the group.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But
I liked when one of the mayors came out and said, when he was looking at Michael at his coffin, and says, "We got one project here that's shovel ready."
Oh,
I can barely hear Jimmy.
So what do we got? A caller? Who's this? Who we got?
It's EJ.
EJ.
Of course it is.
Take the joint out of your mouth, and you know
he's up there in Washington.
No, he was asking for introductions, Jimmy.
Jimmy. Oh, you're right. EJ. Okay, and we've got
take the doob out of your mouth, Jimmy.
And we've got Councilor Curtis.
Hey, that's me over here.
And of course we have Jack Rose.
I know there was another one I liked. The McDonald's is offering a new burger in honor of Michael Jackson's life.
Yeah. 50-year-old meat.
Yeah, 50-year-old meat and a 5-year-old bun.
All right, so let's run down. Of course, Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett.
Ed McMahon.
Billy Mays.
Yeah, what did Ed
McMahon? Billy Mays died?
Yep.
ShamWow!
Oh, that wasn't him. That's Vince, man. Yeah.
I know, it was just an expression.
Ed McMahon and Michael Jackson, what did they have in common?
Baker? Who else died?
Shut up, Jack! Hold on, I got a joke about Ed McMahon and Michael Jackson, man.
Oh, okay.
Ed always said, "Here's Johnny," and Michael always said, "Where's Johnny?" All right, pretty bad.
Ripping these off.
Hey, when Michael Jackson died, why did he die at 3:15?
Oh, no.
This one I like.
It's when the big hand touches the little hand.
Oh, yes!
It's odd that Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson died on the same day. One had a relation with majors and the other with minors.
Everybody went on a high note, for God's sake.
Right. Yeah. Anybody with an email. All right.
Well, so the other things that happened, of course, with Sarah Palin, you know, left.
Yes. Yeah.
Big deal. And Al Franken came in as senator.
Ah!
Jimmy has the opposite take from all the pundits on both of those.
Of course.
Yeah.
One is that naturally. Sarah Palin left, so what? I mean, you know, they're trying to make up everything. Was it a good move, bad move, in between move? You know, and I saw all the cartoons, and like, shut up, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, it's
your own damn business,
and
nobody knows what's going to happen. It's interesting, as always.
Why did she leave?
We'll find out later.
No, she said personal reasons. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Slam the door and go and leave.
Right. Hugh Hefner offered her $5 million to pose in Playboy, and she figured she couldn't get away with it as the governor, so she took it.
That would have been, and I might have explained that, although that's why I'm thinking that wasn't it. Maybe $1 million.
Yeah.
But then she probably turned that down. But the deal is that she, as anybody said, she can still, even though she's not still governor, she can still make a ton of money on the lecture circuit, you know, like Ann Coulter.
Absolutely.
And those people. She can kill them. But even so, who cares? Who knows? Maybe she just wants to go home.
Strip club circuit.
Is that the brass pole circuit?
Celebrity
strip circuit.
Yeah, celebrity strip circuit. Hold on, we got to come up with a better name than that. That's good though.
and then everybody was talking about Al Franken being a senator.
Yeah.
And I thought, buffoon. So what? I mean, well, you know, you say that, but look, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who showed up with 20 cents in his pocket and couldn't speak English, is governor of California,
right.
Which, and we've seen what happened there, $27 billion.
I'm not saying Al Franken's the only buffoon.
I think personally, you've hit the nail on the head. I think that the deal is you could go in there and find... Oh, say 99 more that are of his ilk, and I don't.
I think that
Al Franken being elected simply confirms the Senate is.
Well, Jimmy,
and what America is.
If not 99, at least 59 more. So
right.
Oh,
I mean, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I did notice it was funny because they interviewed the senior senator from Minnesota, which is where he's. I guess that's where he is going to be the
Minnesota,
senator.
Minnesota, don't you know?
Yeah. And so they interviewed her, the senior senator, and I don't know how long she's been in there. I never heard of her before, but she couldn't. It is amazing to me. She's a Democrat. She could not stop from slamming Sarah Palin and Sanders because they're Republicans. You know, well, at least they didn't leave office, you know, just quit or go down to Argentina. And, you know, they were she couldn't, when they asked her a simple question that had nothing to do with anybody else, she could not say.
That's because she's above petty.
I know that, but what I'm saying is this shows you.
Ad hominem attack.
Right. I mean, but it's fascinating to watch. Here's a senator, the greatest deliberative body. Right. She's one of 100 and, you know, got to be, you know, treated like a queen, and to come out with some trash like that, to me, and again, it wouldn't have mattered to me. Yeah, right. I mean, right. I'm sticking my tongue out and holding my thumbs in my ears and waving my hands at you.
Right.
I mean, what a bunch of juvenile buffoons they are. So anyway, of course, the other thing was that the cable TV people were just beside themselves after Farrah died first. So they had every special in the world lined up for her, and then Michael had the temerity to croak.
Michael,
and you know, what do you do? I mean, what do you do?
Don't you have your Michael? Don't you have Michael Jackson?
Hell no.
What? You don't have Beat It?
Come on, man.
Eddie Van Halen solo? Come on.
Actually, well, it was funny. I actually did some little research on that.
Oh, Lane, we're looking for a new sound guy, man. Hey, any of our listeners out there, sound guy at jimmygoogle.com.
Pause the show
right
now
and play some Michael Jackson.
Oh, wait, I got it. Right here.
Yeah.
Your job back.
That was on Off the Wall, wasn't it?
Hey, yeah.
Oh, and, no. Thriller. I don't know.
Well, no, because I thought that they were talking about the announcer came on and he was saying that Michael was responsible for kind of breaking the racial barriers into MTV. And I thought it was, you know, what I had heard earlier was that it was the solo that everybody wanted to hear from Eddie Van Halen on Beat It. And but apparently Billie Jean was the first one that they put in a heavy rotation, and the Beat It was the third single that he released in February of 83.
Well,
and,
but what was this? What was this about breaking the color barrier? Nat King Cole was like before he was
there. There was a couple of Tina Turner, and there was some other people that have been
on MTV.
On MTV, right.
But he was the first one to actually get into heavy rotation. And
yeah,
then,
great videos. You know, I mean, Thriller's not like a great song, but it's an awesome video.
Well, I think it's a great song. I like it.
A good song, but it's not a great song.
That's your opinion.
Right, I'm just saying. That's an awesome video. It's probably the best video ever made. I mean,
and a lot of the Weird Al stuff take off when Michael's pretty good too.
Well, and you
know, do you have some of that queued up or what? Oh wait, we play it now.
I'll play it for the outro.
Jimmy, it's interesting that everybody has totally dropped the child molestation thing. I mean, nobody has talked about the.
I disagree with you.
No,
I've been worshiping a pedophile.
That's the cloud over his fame or whatever it is. And of course, it was interesting. I want to talk more about Neil Bortz here in a few minutes because he was like, he doesn't, obviously, for a smart guy my age, has no knowledge of economics. Very interesting. But he came out and somebody took him to task for saying that Michael Jackson was a pedophile. And they said, well, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And of course, as we all know, that's in a court of law.
Right.
You can accuse anybody of anything you want. You know, outside the court of law, like OJ, I think anybody will sit here and say guilty. But in the court of law, you know, that's whatever. He got off. But I personally,
they both got off.
As far as I'm concerned, who was the guy that got his whatever cut off?
Bobbitt.
So anyway, but I'm of those say that it still could have been a when you talk about the child molestation and pedophile and all that stuff, I'm one of those that doesn't consider him guilty yet. I mean,
I think a lot of people want to believe the innocent part of it. That is to say, if the courts find you innocent, I'm going to go ahead with innocent for the most part. I mean, OJ, I thought was guilty. And if I'd like have seen him, you know, with a big knife in his hand, like I wouldn't have felt comfortable.
glad to hear that.
But for Michael, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm going to let my kids go over there and spend the night at his house. But otherwise...
girls are okay, so you're fine.
Right. They're girls. So. But anyway, so Michael Jackson. So we had a rash of deaths. Ed McMahon, see you later, you know, and Carl Malden.
Carl Malden.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Can you imagine? Here you are, you're Farrah Fawcett, for God's sakes, probably voted number one most beautiful woman ever on stage screen or whatever it is. And come totally overshadowed by Michael Jackson.
She got about 3 hours there.
Yeah, before he died, right?
That's about right.
Well, my favorite one was on the Jackson. I saw that little clip of Paris Jackson, his daughter,
and the
announcer goes, "Well, I can imagine what the headlines are going to say tomorrow. Something like,
Paris weeps for Michael.
No. It was. I guess we saw Michael Jackson's kid emerge, and." They seem shockingly normal.
Nice.
They probably are going to be totally normal. That'd be funny.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. What's real news?
Yeah,
there we go. Jimmy found it.
And he's got Billie Jean.
There you go.
For you listeners that aren't mic'd in.
Yeah. Can you hear it?
I doubt it.
Let's see.
Jimmy's going to make my job easy.
One, two, three, four. skip it.
This is the Jimmy Dolan version.
Now, the other one I like is this.
Jimmy don't go around breaking young boys' hearts, huh?
Yes. Or something.
This is my...
Well, this is pretty good. It was an introspective.
Okay, so much for that. Anyway, those are two that I have on my.
That was
iPod.
A biographical introspective.
What?
That he wrote.
Black or white.
I used to be black.
Hey,
now I'm white.
Hey,
somewhere in between.
So Jimmy comes along with the right stuff at the right time. You know,
I liked
Jimmy, our new sound guy there.
Yeah.
Well, I should have this mic'd in or something. I don't know.
You'll have to pay Jimmy double what you pay Engineer Eric.
Don't stop.
Worth every penny, too.
Don't stop till you get enough. That was the best one. But all right, so anyway.
On the floor.
What else? What real news happened this week, Jimmy?
Okay, well, here's the real news is, the real news, of course, that is sort of fascinating is this cap and trade bill that's coming up.
Cap and trade!
Well, wait a minute. Before that, but of course, this is, and Jimmy actually did some big, huge R research on this.
Mm. Wow.
Jimmy pulled down the 1,289-page PDF document that is this bill.
I can see your desk bending over there.
There are so many electrons on this desk that it is just, it's about to shatter. That's right.
Singularity.
That's singularity. That's right. The problem was it is so heavy that light does not escape from, it's like
did
my bread.
You download the 3D glasses that go with it?
You have to download welder's glasses. Speaking of that, I made some bread the other day.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Digression.
It didn't
take
rise.
A take a shot.
Took a little while.
It didn't rise, and I don't want to say it was dense, but it had its own gravity field.
Every time you walk by, you find yourself being drawn to it.
No, really.
The fish tank water was at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, I mean, that is dense.
The trays are empty. All the ashes are on the bread.
It was. Well, the problem is I couldn't see the loaf because light did not escape from it. I knew it was there someplace. I don't mean it was dense bread, but... You know, I took a crumb and gained 40 pounds.
You lost three knives trying to slice. You finally gave up.
The problem is they go in and they don't come out.
That's exactly right.
So that was the, anyway.
We're good.
Cap and tax, baby. Cap and tax.
Okay,
and we're back.
That's right. The cap and trade thing that's interesting. A couple of things is a lot of the provisions don't even start for like 20 or 30 years, and they already set up czars for the particular agency that's going to show up in 2020 or 2020.
What's the basic concept behind this?
Okay, the basic concept
control,
is we know cap and trade. Yes, control. But I mean,
control.
But what it ostensibly is...
And tax.
By control.
But what the deal is this. We want to control greenhouse emissions, carbon dioxide primarily, greenhouse emissions.
Stop breathing.
But mostly carbon dioxide, which they forget is 1/1,000th as polluting in the atmosphere as methane. But they want to control the carbon dioxide because it's an easy target. It's cars, it's oil, it's natural gas.
It's breathing.
And it's stuff that burns that throws off carbon dioxide. So they want to control it.
And
the way they're
going
to do it is
movie.
They are going to cap the amount that anybody can throw off, and if by some wild chance you have enough pull and you have to exceed your cap, you can trade your extra pollution for somebody's lesser pollution. So that if somebody, for instance, is a nuclear plant and they are allowed to have 4,000 kilograms of carbon a day or whatever,
pollutant.
And you need those 4,000, you can like buy them at market prices.
Well,
if
they want more than 4,000, all they've got to do is pay the government a little bit more.
No, technically, that's not true.
What you're saying is there's a cap, there's a limit on the total amount of this gas that's going to be allowed to be emitted.
Right. And the total amount, actually, it is I believe it's like a 20%. The whole idea is a 20% decrease in carbon dioxide emissions in 30 or 40 years from what we have today. That's it. That's the cap. And then the way you're supposed to achieve that is to trade and swap it out. The idea is that eventually all the new appliances, all the new everything, all the new homes and everything will be carbon, not if not neutral, they'll be way less than they were, 20% less than they are today.
Now, I don't want to be...
Carbon light,
that's right.
I don't want to... Now, anything that's putting off carbon dioxide is what they're trying to tax, correct?
Except, of course, as you well know, the simple fact is, as we all know, there is no such thing as taxing a plant or a building or a coal mine or a fire.
Yes.
It's the people...
That's right.
Who actually pay the taxes. I mean, when that fire or when that coal mine whips out a pen and writes a check on a coal mine account, then I'll believe it. But the simple fact is, all of that has to be a tax, no matter how you do it. It's all a tax on people.
Well,
now, what your question was, are we going to personally have to wear a little meter mask around?
Which we've talked about before in the past.
Right,
put a quarter in.
Put a quarter in,
time.
And then, or it'll at the end of the day, you'll get a little ticky slip will come out. Here is your receipt. for how much carbon you expel today.
Pay
and please
or
send
die.
In play. Yeah, that's right. Oh, then what they'll do is they'll have like they do down in St. Petersburg where they can shut off your air conditioner for a little while. They'll have a little wireless thing where
down
if you don't
South
pay,
Florida.
They'll you know your gas
they
mask.
Just make it a little harder to breathe.
They'll make it right. They'll make it a little harder to breathe. That's right.
Just cut you down a little.
Cut you down a little bit. You'll have to nice. Suck.
No, I mean,
you'll have to suck so hard. Well, I know a girl that can do that.
Jimmy figured
a
out that the adult thing got put back up on Craigslist, so Jimmy's all happy again.
Say what now?
The adult section got put back up on Craigslist, so Jimmy's
Shut
all happy.
Number again. Oh, I'm ecstatic. Oh. Are you kidding? Yeah, oh, yeah. No, there's no
all
question.
Right, but in all seriousness,
but in all seriousness, the deal is
they
this.
They literally are. They could go this way.
Well,
how old are you? How much are you breathing? They're literally good taxes.
Well, they don't have to put the machine on you. They just send you a bill.
Yeah, or just average breaths per day.
Or what they'll do, maybe they'll have like a CO2 checkpoint, like they did down here with the
breathe
into
this.
And you breathe in and see what your according to your body weight and everything.
Get tested.
Normal output. And,
well, when you go get tested for your new healthcare situation.
Man, you better hope you don't fart.
When you go get tested
well,
for
that's
your
methane.
Universal
that's
healthcare.
Not carbon dioxide.
Oh, and that's 1,000 times worse.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Methane.
You fart in the office when you're getting tested?
Oh, that's double taxed.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're a methane polluter,
and that's
too.
Like the whole thing, like the creation of ethanol creates a lot of nitrous oxide, which is great.
Didn't
but,
hear any of that.
But that, you know, it's infinitely more...
Ozone-unfriendly.
Infinitely more greenhouse gassier than CO2.
All right, so back on the main thing.
And that's getting subsidized by the government.
So, Jimmy, what we're talking about here is a massive, massive tax, right?
Every time you turn on a light, it's going to cost more. Every time you start your car... It's going to go.
Well, I've heard they've estimated this tax in the trillions of dollars.
Well, it could, again, nobody
over
knows
time.
Because, again, one of the things is you're measuring
America.
In dollars, which, by the way, as Jimmy has claimed, that when the inflation hits, which it has to, our dollars are going to be Zimbabwe variety. So when you say trillions or multi-trillions, that's just
you're saying it's
what we're
make...
talking about is a percentage of your income is what we're worried about. Is more revenue to the government. Yeah, but it's a percentage of your income. You're going to that's what it boils down to. Now,
our dollar is going to make the peso look
what do they have on paper right now, Jimmy?
Okay, I'm going to give you an example. Here on page 726, calendar year, 2032, emission allowances in millions are 3283. And then it goes all the way up to 2049, emission allowances 1160. I mean, here they are. These guys have the most fancy supercomputers in the world and literally cannot tell the weather tomorrow. And here they are, right here, year 2049.
They're mandating.
I'm looking at page 726.
Yes.
Mandating right here, and they have it for every year 2032, 2033, 2030.
All right.
I feel safer.
I'm still a little lost. You mean they're mandating what?
Well, this particular thing's happened to be emission allowances.
Emission allowances for who?
For
everybody.
They're mandating.
I don't know. No. I think it's
what
a total. It doesn't really matter.
It's everybody. Let me tell you what they're going to do. They're gonna form
this
a bunch
in
of
general,
committees.
Global.
They're going to form a bunch of committees that are going to get together and decide through their science, quote unquote, how much carbon the globe,
the Earth can take.
Right. No. The United States.
Yeah. This
okay.
Is, this
they
is
only
whatever.
Have this,
for now. For now, but
well,
but
they've got it right here.
Saying,
here's 2012.
In other words, they're going to take a number out of their.
Well, here's
the
number for 2012. Just a minute. Here's the number for 2012. This is, again, page 720. In general, except as provided in paragraph 2, the number of emission allowances established by the administrator, and this is another whole thing, under subsection A for each calendar year shall be provided as following. And on the following table. But this is cast in concrete here.
All right, so
the year 2012 is 4627 exactly. Not 4626. Not 4628. But 4627. That's the number right
4627
there.
4627 what?
Emission allowances. And apparently these
per person, per company.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It's an arbitrary number.
And
I mean, what the...
I don't know exactly. It doesn't matter what it's for. The point is they've come up with a number. They've come up with a thing called emission allowances.
Well, but there must be a units in
there
somewhere.
There is, but it doesn't... Listen to me. It doesn't matter what it is.
I know it doesn't matter. I was just trying to help out.
Okay, well, I'm not going to read through. This is on page 725, and emission allowances may be defined on page 412. I'm not going to go back through it right now.
It doesn't matter, though, of course, because whatever amount it is, it's a maximum that is not naturally in the business cycle.
Right.
It's not naturally present because of the market determination that that's how much is supposed to be in the atmosphere.
Right. Well, the other thing is, the thing that's so funny about this is that I don't believe, there are some scientists that already believe we've reached, quote, the tipping point. That is, we're doomed.
Right.
Okay?
And like Al Gore.
Play
no,
the music.
No,
and
what they say, there are the consensus. In order to stay in power, you can't just say we're doomed because everybody would just give up and go live their own life. So what the people that are in power say, we have between
a huge
5 and 8 years to fix this.
Right.
Now, what's interesting about
four
this?
4 and 8 years. Right. Because that's our presidential
right, election. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, we have until November 3rd, 2012 to fix this. Okay. And so anyway, the point is that they go through this, and yet they're putting all these limits out for years that are past that. My thing is that what happens, let's say they pass this law, and what happens if, in fact, the law is, say, disobeyed for a couple of more years, and say 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it is, until we reach the tipping point. And then what happens? Is there any chance? No. No, but I mean, if you reach the tipping point, if you're doomed, then what good is the law? Well,
Jimmy, all possible ramifications have now been considered.
Well, they have now. Let me make an apology, if you want to call it, or caveat here on this 1,298 pages. It actually is not quite that much. There's about 30 or 40 pages of the table of contents, and then there's some notes at the end, but. This is written the way I used to write my, term paper. It is triple spaced and has like 4-inch margins on each side, so it's like one word down the center. If you,
it looks like you're writing on the side of a Saturn rocket.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And the point is that when they said turn in 30 pages, if it was more than 30 words, I did well. So anyway, the deal is this is like that, and I think if you condensed it down, it probably wouldn't be more than 300 or 400 pages. Right. Did it right. But still, the point is that the minutiae that's involved in this out to the year 2040 and 2050 is mind-boggling. I mean, it is stunning to me to watch this. And think that somebody actually sat around, a group of people sat around, and thought this up. People have no life.
Jimmy, this is administrative regulation gone haywire.
Well, it shows you is, it has gone beyond haywire. I mean, hey, it gives haywire a bad name. This is so alien. This is, I mean, Kang and Kong couldn't come up with this, or Kudos.
Kang and Kodos.
Kang and Kodos, whatever.
Kang and Kodos. Wow. Get it right.
I'm an old person. I've got the 2 Ks.
It's Cain. I'm surprised
you
didn't say Cain and Abel.
If they take into consideration that they're going to be another
Cain
3 billion people in the next 40 years?
Well, that's all. Well, here's the deal. One of the things that it does is not taken into account is guess who is not subject to this law?
Democrats.
China.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
They're building like, one totally carbon-based fuel plant, that is to say, coal plant.
Well, I can tell you
every week or two or three
either.
Or whatever it is. I mean, look, there's no
Hugo
hope.
Hugo is not going to be held responsible. Yeah.
The whole point on this, when you look at this, I would not wish it on anybody to actually read it, but here's the thing. There is plenty of time before this thing passes, even though it's 1,200 pages, minced down to 300. Actually, every senator, every representative could actually read this. And actually, it's not as bad as some of the bills I've seen from the standpoint of referencing other stuff. Mostly what it does is to use the Clean Air Act as a basis. It says, if it exceeds the Clean Air Act, then, we're going to send the sheriff.
Well,
they have a whole lot of enforcement provisions in here.
You're
but most
literarily, it's not complicated. But,
right.
Okay, but still, the fact is, this is a gigantic tax. Right? On American businesses. I mean, this is not good for business.
No, they have the lowest estimate I've seen.
It's not good for anything.
The lowest estimate I've seen is the way they phrase it is to say it will result in an additional $768 billion to the Treasury. That's the way they put it, as if the Treasury needs the Treasury. Don't be wrong; it needs money, but that's money
to come out of the economy.
Well, remember, right, it has to come out of the economy.
Obama said himself that your electric bill would necessarily skyrocket.
I didn't hear the skyrocket part.
Skyrocket.
Well, I did notice, and of course we're seeing it. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here locally here in Gainesville. Really fascinating stuff. I mean, all this stuff, when you look at governments, the way they need money and the way they get it. Of course, they have a gun, so they ultimately can hold you up.
This is your last chance.
Which is what they do. My point is that if anybody, any sane person, literally any sane person were to read this, their eyes would glaze over. Even lawmakers have got to look at this and say, I can't sign on to this. I mean, it is, even though it is literarily, it doesn't have the super twists that some of the laws do that say refer back to this. You know, some of them have so many references to other pages that a 300-page law actually is like a 900 or a 1,000-page law because of all the rest. This is not so much like that. This actually reads relatively linearly.
But you're saying because it projects so far out in the future?
Oh, not only projects, but every third or fourth page is a new administrative office that's going to be set up for oversight or enforcement. Now, the government's primary method of enforcement is bribery. And what they say is that, you know, if you don't do this, then we're not going to give you the money.
Coercion.
And they have the matching thing and everything. But the big manufacturers get a thing per, you know, washing machine. You know, the Energy Star is a big thing. Big deal.
Yeah, their secondary method, as opposed to bribery, is fining. And
right.
You know.
Right. And that's right. Now, to be honest with you, I've glanced through a lot of this, but I don't remember seeing too much on the fining part.
Well,
I'm sure it's there.
You're not fined. Yeah. You're executed.
That's what they do. They're going to be empowered to fine companies that exceed their limits.
Well, the Clean Air Act, you see, I think the Clean Air Act probably includes some fining, and there's a lot of reference to the Clean Air Act.
Right.
So that may be the vehicle that they're going to use for the fining.
Trust me, they have almost plenary power to do that. They tried to use the Clean Air Act in the past to do some really broad, sweeping things.
Right. Well, I know they did.
But it looks like Obama wants to help him out this time with this cap and trade business. So, I mean, is this anything that we can stop, Jimmy?
No,
I mean,
this is so huge. This is such a huge monster thing that nobody is going to put together 1,289 pages and not have bits and pieces of it. Compromises, they're going to be bribes are going to be thrown around. I mean, absolutely, I don't know, a pinata on birthday or something. I mean, the stuff's going to shower down from heaven on all the legislators.
Obama's
people.
Working on his retirement right now. That's
no, I mean, I'm so no. It's just you can see that this is called retirement plans for people currently in Congress. There's going to be a way. There's a way on this. The bribes are going to be monumental.
Right. And we got it all worked out for the next 40 years, Congressman. Don't worry about it.
Just watch us.
You're going to be a supervisor on this program, Senator, until 2045.
Okay. Well, now I'm gonna.
And of course, you're 80 now. So
right.
Well, but even so, it's for their kids and everything else. I mean, look, this is a retirement plan. So let me just sum up and finish the cap and trade thing by telling you that this is an unmitigated disaster. This is doom. Let me put it this way. I would rather have 4 or 5 degrees of global warming than have this cap and trade bill. Mm-hmm. I am pretty much hoping.
Is that how much it proposes to stop?
No, it's 3 degrees is what they're.
3 degrees over 50
years? Armageddon is in 3 degrees by the end of this century.
Okay.
Personally, I would think that 10 degrees by tomorrow morning would be plenty. I would rather have that than cap and trade.
Hey, look, it's been 80 degrees here. I can take another 10.
Again, the whole point of this is that what I'm basically hoping for is, I would say, a pretty good, so I say a stadium-sized asteroid to smash into the Earth. And I mean, that would be better than this. That would be better than this cap and trade.
Ah, a superb choice.
Yeah.
I mean, this will probably doom.
If the Park of Yosemite erupts in a gigantic volcanic
explosion. Yeah, good news for me. I mean, that's right. And if they don't.
The island of Hawaii blows into the air.
Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, Krakatoa squared. Be just fine. That's how bad this thing is. But it's interesting because it just shows to go you what morons these guys are, and in terms of the grab for money, not morons, this is actually what they do, but the grab that goes on. And we've seen this actually on a local level here recently, as the article I was reading.
Is it a new story?
Yes.
Okay, segue. Woo!
All right, well, yeah, take a shot. No, let's take a quick break.
Okay, good.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
And we're back with Jimmy Doan.
The Jimmy Doan Show.
So you were. So while we were gone, you did look that up.
Commence preparations for rumbling.
Hey, they saved $5,000 doing that.
Yes, I did confirm the quote skyrocket.
Well, what's interesting?
Electricity would necessarily skyrocket. That is.
Speaking of electricity, and this actually dovetails into several things here recently over the 4th of July weekend.
Wait, is this a digression?
No, we're on a new subject.
I was hoping
for governments to get money. They are panic-stricken because the property values, the balloon is busted, and a lot of people, commercial people, are running in there saying, look, you had for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, you had it pretty good while the property values were going skyrocketing 10-20% a year, whatever, and you were raising my taxes, not raising the millage, but because my appraisal value went up, my taxes went up. Now, the property's worth less, and I want you to readjust. And
oh no, no, no!
Well, so they've had to
that's
actually, by law,
property assessors. You don't understand. The economy's that bad.
They've had to readjust some stuff, and a vast number of counties and cities, municipalities, and so forth are seeing a decline in revenue because of this.
Terrible shame that.
Yeah, and so they're trying everything they can to close the gap. And one of the articles that I saw said that they are looking at painful cuts. Ooh. Well, they have no clue what a painful cut is. I mean, what's funny is that there are people out here that are losing, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50% on their 401ks. Their incomes are down. Their, you know, unemployment rate is going to go over 10%. Those people got 100% cut. And these guys are looking at...
What, did EE do a couple lines of blow during that last break? Or what? Your finger's just passing over there.
Well, I've got
there.
Some things I actually have, you know.
I just, you're just in this wave. Just
yeah! I've got Uber on pain.
Go ahead and get it out of your system.
Painful cuts, and of course it's a joke because they have not yet begun any painful cuts. They still have here locally. They've decided to spend $1 million on a golf course, and they have told us flat out it's going to lose money forever.
We have not yet begun to cut.
No, what they've said is they've done painful cuts. So now what they're doing is I can't imagine. You know what they're going to do here locally, and they're probably not the only ones. There are two things they do to close the budget gap. One is they're actually going to raise our property taxes this year. They have the cojones to raise our property, the millage rate this year to help close the gap. I mean, it's like, you know, our property values went down. So in order to make sure that
your taxes go up.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It is, of course, it's unconscionable as well. That's the first thing. The other thing that they're doing is the bandits with the badge have been out there like you cannot believe. I mean, they are recently over the 4th of July weekend, of course, was like. It was like a trout farm out there.
Show.
They had
trout farm.
No, I mean they throw the line in and catch four trouts at once. They were out there every place you can imagine, in Orlando and here locally. They told it in advance. They put it down here on 441, and in either 4 or 8 hours, I forget. They stopped over 1,000 people. They called it a DUI checkpoint.
That's just one place. This was all
no,
over
this,
the nation.
This is. Endemic, if you want to call it, of all over the country. Because last year, I think I talked about the lake that they did up there in Idaho when we were in Idaho last year.
Man, it's like a big fishing expedition.
No. It was like salmon in August in Alaska. You could walk across rivers in Alaska on the salmon not get your feet wet. Now, my point is that they went down.
You know who one of the famous fish
I'm sorry,
fish
did I interrupt
was?
You?
Yes,
go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the famous fish was Joyce DeWitt. That's what I was trying to say, was there.
Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company, she got nabbed.
She got busted on the 4th.
Yeah.
Just what you're talking about. One
for
of
what?
Sting
DUI.
Operations.
DUI.
Sting
well, no,
operations.
I understand that. Right. The DUI, and of course we've talked about this before, and
well,
that
here,
is...
Here they had a checkpoint with no DUIs.
Yeah, they stopped over 1,000
cars.
They issued over 100 citations. They had a couple of arrests for...
10 warnings.
Ten warnings out of 1,032 stops.
So 1%.
And then they did arrest a couple people for outstanding felony.
Outstanding warrants.
They had like a 7, I think, or something like that.
No DUIs.
At the DUI check was zero. Zip. So
and they wrote how many tickets?
They wrote 102. And knowing what they are, of course, nowadays here in Florida, as of the 1st of July... not wearing a seatbelt is a primary offense. That is, if they spot you from the bell tower driving down the road, not wearing a seatbelt, if they've got, you know, a 40-power scope.
Yeah. How about a red light camera?
Those haven't fired up yet, but they're all over the place, too. But the red light cameras are on 24/7. My point is that the cops were out, enhancing the sheriff's budget and the policeman's budget all over the country on July 4th because it's a target-rich environment.
They said it was for education, though.
No, it's safety.
Another
place they said it was for the children.
Screw us. Yeah,
well,
we learned
I noticed
a lot.
That, I mean, Jimmy, what kind of society is this where literally the cops just go out there... Literally, they just set up all these checkpoints. The people go through there. They just stop people at will,
right?
And take money.
Right.
I mean, is this like Israel, Palestine, something?
No. It's like the old highwaymen of old.
It was the FHP. It was the FHP, which stands for Florida Highwaymen Patrol.
Highwaymen patrol.
Right. They're like the highwaymen of old. That's exactly right. I mean, but look, when the words to serve and protect bring on new meaning, when you think about it, they're going to serve you with a summons, and they are protecting you the way the mafia issued protection, you know, on the stores in New York. I mean, basically, we'll burn your store down or whatever it is. The difference, of course, is that the mafia people actually took the money, you know, on the spot, whereas in order to have some little veneer of legality or veneer of society or civility, they only issue you a coupon that says you have to pay. And
a rain check.
Well, no, you have to go down. And interestingly enough, of course, you're locally the police station. Not the police station, but there's a couple places where you used to be able to go pay your ticket, and they close them down as a budget measure so that you can either pay online or you actually, I think you have to make an appointment now to pay your ticket here.
Really?
To call
or mail it in?
No, well, I don't know if you can mail it in. Again, you might be able to.
Yeah.
But
they don't take cash.
They want it online.
Right?
They want it online. Yeah. I don't know if they don't take PayPal, but I mean they do want it online.
They just want you to enter your bank account number.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, of course, my thing was this. Of course, one of the things locally,
they
always tell you that this is for safety. We're only here about safety. It's not about the money. It has nothing to do with the money. And my answer to that is when I looked at the county budget here, that fines and forfeitures are a line item.
Mm-hmm.
That is, this is what we're going to collect next year,
right,
based on last year, based on the population, based on what we see, based on the new fines, the increase in fines and forfeitures, the fact that the seatbelt now is mandatory, the fact that...
So it's kind of a quota.
Based on these new bullies we just hired.
In order to do this, to provide the safety and so forth, the point is that they say it's not a quota, but it's a line item.
Yeah.
So the question I have, obviously, is if you get within 2 or 3 months of the end of the year... And here locally, I think the line item is around $800,000 for fines and forfeitures that they figure they're going to get next year. And, of course, the question I have is if you show up around the end of the fiscal year here, as it does in so many places, starts October 1st, and if you get up about now, say, and your fines and forfeitures are only around,
40%,
say, half that,
right?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think is going to happen? Well, the sheriff's going to say, go out there and educate these people.
Right. Write them a piece of pay and paper.
Well, that's right.
Protect these people.
That's right. You're out there to serve
and
protect, educate, and save them from dying on the road.
Protect this line item.
I mean, there's no question that they will end up collecting that money. And if that isn't a quota, I don't know. It is quoted by any other name.
Well, it was like that cop we were talking about that. Actually, I sent this around again. The guy who, remember the Harvard professor who was on there, and he says, don't ever talk to the cops.
Right.
And there was a cop sitting there, and he goes, if I follow you for like 20 minutes, there's something I can write you for.
Right.
Oh, for
no
sure.
Question.
For sure.
Yeah.
And now, with the seatbelt being primary here in Florida, literally they can just say, well, I just saw he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, even if you were.
Yeah.
You know, well, and of course, if you have a car that just has a lap belt, or if you have a minor that's in the back seat, they can just say, well, we thought your minor didn't have their seatbelt on.
Right.
Well,
no, I had my seatbelt was on, but I was reaching for my gun.
Yeah, well, you know, they can always say that the seatbelt's the same color as your shirt. You know, it didn't look like it had a seatbelt. I mean,
it's over, man.
Yeah, it's over.
You.
No, it's over.
They can stop you at will. And, I mean, you know, literally, I just can't believe that.
Your paper.
I can believe. I'll tell you something, Jimmy. It's interesting. You would think, if you were just to look at this on its face, you would think, well, the people wouldn't put up with this. The people in power, after they started getting pulled over, wouldn't put up with this kind of stuff. But what we've seen happen here is the double standard has grown. And when the people in power get pulled over, they get let off.
Right.
And so they just...
And if they get caught getting let off, it's a big scandal. And then that's when they have to pay.
Kennedy boy when he ran into the cop car.
In some town locally here, they stopped the mayor.
Oops.
And then when they realized it was the mayor, they
gave him a ride home.
No, they wasn't for DUI. It was something they just said. They let him go.
Well, we reported on a story a month or two ago where Dante Stallworth, the pro football player, hit and killed somebody in Miami. And he got arrested for DUI manslaughter. And anybody else would have done several years. And I was lamenting the fact that this guy was going to do several years in prison for a, quote, crime where he didn't try to hurt anybody.
It was an accident.
Well, yeah, it was. It was an accident. And I'm very happy to report that he only got 30 days. He got the deal of the century.
Wow. Yeah.
Because what happened was, I guarantee you, his lawyer freaking went to him right away and said, listen, man, I'll make a deal for you right now. You know, he knew the prosecutor or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll do it today, and then you'll be done. No double jeopardy. You know, we'll throw it to the press. The way they did it, the way they spun it was he owned up for it really quick, and he admitted his guilt and his whatever, and he's doing 30 days. Whereas if you or I or anybody had done it, man, I'm talking 3 years minimum, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, he was doing it for 30 days. You can bet he was a hero in the place, you know, signing autographs. And
well, I mean, whatever, 30 days, I mean, 30.
You can hold your
nothing.
Breath for 30 days.
Exactly,
just about, yeah.
You know? And so my point is, though, is that it highlights a double standard, and it illuminates the problem.
Yeah, but it's going to even get worse. If
right.
If you think the double standard is bad now, you wait. The corruption, and you can
and
tell about the failure of a government by the amount of corruption and the black market and the stuff that goes on outside. Government failure is defined by how many people disobey the law. That tells you
come
right
again.
Away. That tells you right away how.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said government. The failure of government is defined by how many people disobey the law. I mean, that's when you find black markets and corruption, you know that the government is a failure.
All right. So what else?
Well, right.
Okay, next, let's take a really quick break.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
Never mind.
Jimmy Doan Show.
So now let me move on to another thing that came up, before I actually get to anything that I want to talk about today.
All right, good.
We got about I don't know, say 7 minutes or so.
All okay, right. Let me just mention that this is the last year. No, I'm sorry. Let's see. Is it this year? No, it's next year. Next year. This is the big news that people talk about. Here they are on the global warming, talking about 10, 20, 30, 40 years out. But the big news is next year. 2010 is the last year that you can kill that rich relative and get all his money.
It went 2010?
Yeah.
The last year?
The Bush tax cuts expire at the end of 2010, which next year, if you have an inheritance coming, no matter what no matter how
get
big it is,
Kool-Aid ready.
No matter how big it is, it can be billions. It's not taxable at the federal level, so you can.
But after that,
it reverts to the old standard. I think plus a little bit is if anything over about $2 or $3 million is subject to a 55% tax.
Ooh, 55%.
Yeah, I mean think about it. If a guy's got a $10 million, if a guy's got a $10 million estate, and you know the first $3 million is exempt. And then the government gets $3.5 million.
Are you sure it isn't time for a colorful metaphor?
Yeah, I'd say it is.
Are you sure it's time for what?
A colorful metaphor.
Gotta be freaking
and so, but
kidding
next,
me.
But next year, I believe next year is the last year, finally, that at the $10 million state, it all goes to Junior. So Junior needs to, you know, read up on
kill
them.
Kill him now!
Junior needs to read up on those exotic poisons that don't show up in trace... at CSI.
Right, right.
So I'm giving you fair warning that there's going to be, I think that there's going to be an epidemic, if you want to call it. I'm not sure exactly what it, but there will be a...
of cliff accidents?
Well, there's going to be a lot of accidents next year, unexplained.
Yeah,
you know,
get
rich
the,
people are going to be...
I'll tell
you
this way. Accidental death by dismemberment clause and then push them into a shredder or something. I mean, come on.
A chipper?
Take with you, chipper. Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me tell you what I mean. If I were actually rich, if I was worth more than, you know, $5 or $10 million and had some heirs that, you know, maybe weren't 100% on my side, of course, you can't tell these days. I'd be tempted to go into hiding next year and probably, you know, take that long wanted cruise under an assumed name to an unextraditable country.
Oh, that's another way. Look, people were jumping off cruise ships for a while there too. That's another nice way to disappear there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny when you jump
jumping off.
And, off. Yeah. And when you jump off and they do the autopsy and they find this huge handprint on your back. So anyway, the other thing is I noticed that they're coming out, what they're starting to talk about in the Fed is a new stimulus plan because the old one's not working. I mean, really. The old one, what is so funny about this is if it's not working, you know, if it's broken, if it didn't do anything, the stimulus plan, if it didn't work, I tell you what we're going to do. Let's do another one.
Yeah.
I mean,
They haven't even started the first one. I mean, in the scheme of things, they've put out less than 30% of the money. You know,
I'm talking about the one where they wrote the checks to everybody.
Right, right, but still that
money.
That.
No, the stimulus plan that you're talking about, where they where the money hasn't been spent yet. That's a different one.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the one where they.
I'm not talking about TARP.
I'm talking about the one before that.
Got it.
And I to be honest with you, I don't know which one they're talking. It doesn't really matter because both of them are a joke. And one of the reasons is that it is. And Neil Bortz, I was going to talk about this too at some length, and maybe we'll do it another time. But he came along and said, in a very extensive, on his Neil Bortz News, Neil's News or whatever, which I do read in the morning, but he also has it wrong about the difference between spending and investment. And the fact is that you've got, if you have any, let me put it this way, any money over what you need, and we're lucky as humans because we can do this, any money that you have over what you need for subsistence, that is food, clothing, and shelter, anything after that is what I call disposable, I guess they call disposable income. Now, there are only two things you can do with that. There are only two things you can do with it. Either you can save it, which is capital, and then it gets invested to make more stuff, or
you can
go out and you can blow it on chocolates or whatever it is, Kirshan chocolates or something like that.
What'd you say, EJ? Or you can what it?
Or you can snort it.
The point is that that money that is spent that way on current consumption only serves to drive up the price of the things that exist today. That's all it can do. It's a bidding war, and then when the ultimate, if that's all that ever happened, if there was no investment, which there has to be as humans, because we continue to have to eat and everything, is that actually everybody would end up with what they actually wanted or could afford, and then it would stop. The system would stop. But that's, again, another story. The point is that spending money creates no new wealth. It can't. All it does is to bid up the price of existing items. The wealth of a country is created in the new stuff. And the only way you can do it, the only one way you can do it, is with capitalism and
the free market system,
private property rights. And so that's the only way you can do it. And it's interesting because one of the things that has come under attack recently is capitalism. And somebody sort of got it right in what they talked about. The problem is what they call crony capitalism. That's where the capitalists get in the government. Well, I don't call that capitalism. Pure capitalism is without government interference. Once you involve the government, once you get the sheriff, Dylan on your side, and he's going to march in there right or wrong and, tell people what to do, that's not capitalism anymore. That's totalitarianism. That's force. That's has nothing, as far as I'm concerned, to denigrate the word. Smear the word capitalism.
It's like what they do, Jimmy. They confuse it like this. They think, well, Obama's going to tax. He's going to take a bunch of taxes. Let's say he takes $100 million. And he starts a totally green company with this money. And he hires a bunch of scientists at $1 million a year, 100 of them. And he pays them $1 million a year to work at this factory. And so he taxes $100 million a year. And he's created this great business. That's what they think. That he's created this business. And yet what he's done is just taking money out of the system.
Right.
He hasn't created anything.
No,
with
the thing about
other than his spend.
He's created 100 millionaires. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no. But he hasn't created them.
What you don't realize is the other 100 that lost their money.
Right. He's just shifted.
So he's also created 100 paupers.
Well, and that's the other thing that so many people that I've talked to today about. We've all talked about how much we've pulled back. And, feeling the pinch of the economy.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, if everybody's pulling back, then there, again, no wealth is going to be created then.
The thing is, when people pull back, if they live within their means, one of the things you have to realize is, and there's different levels of assistance in different countries, but it's food, clothing, and sheltering. And Adam Smith talked about this. Once the things that fall under the rubric of food, clothing, and shelter, which are essential for our existence, don't count in the national wealth. They just can't. I mean, because a house is a house is a house. Now, it may be a mansion, it may be a monster, and it may be a hut, but it still houses you. And as such, and Adam Smith pointed this out pretty rigorously, the simple fact is, in order to pay for that, you have to go someplace else to get the money. You have to have a job somewhere to get the money to pay for your house. And that's what creates the wealth, not the house, but the way that you have to go pay for it. And the same with your clothing and your food. But other stuff, your iPods, your cars, your typewriters, the stuff that your washing machines and vacuum cleaners, the stuff that make productivity, those require investment. You have to have investment. You have to have capital in order to come up with those things.
You have to have a company. You have to have a business that invests money and actually creates wealth.
Well, my point is that every moment, and this is what they call the labor theory of value. And unfortunately, you can't go back far enough because it's 10,000 years of labor. So now the money actually measures value. But the point is that a single person can do it. Every person has, we as humans, as a species, we can provide for our basic subsistence and have some time left over. We can do that. What you do with that time, that's your capital. What you do with that time is either you can lay around and do nothing, in which case you will live at the same subsistence level forever. And some societies do that, like lions. You know, I mean, lions lay around. They've got capital, but they've, you know, squandered by laying around under a tree.
They don't have any refrigeration. What are they going to do, store up meat?
Well, you know.
That's the perfect life.
I guess. But I mean, and, you know, their capital, as with all animals, their capital actually is in their fat. I mean, humans right. are capitalists, you know, for their what I call three-week capitalists. You can go without food for about 3 weeks and then you die, but most people. But the point is that that's your capital anyway, and you could spend it and then you die. And that's what they're doing in this country. The money that Obama is borrowing right now, the 700, you know, the trillions of dollars is coming from China. Of course, that's their capital. That's savings that's dollars that they have gotten from us over the years that they put in the bank, and it's just sitting there, and we're borrowing it back, and we're spending it, not investing it. They're spending it, and which means it is wilting away like a plant that's dying.
At a record pace.
At a record pace. And
unbelievable.
So the point is, when people pull back, you mentioned this, when people pull back, what they're doing is they are reducing their level of subsistence so that they have some money left over. That money is capital. That money is savings. And one of the things we have to do in this country, and we'll do it individually, if the government will get out of the way, people normally and naturally do this, is they will pull back for a while. Mm-hmm. They will put money in the bank or in their mattress, or they'll loan it to their pal next door, or they'll start their own company and collect the money somewhere, and they'll start an investment-type business with capital, with savings, and then it will create new wealth. And that's just the way it works.
Right.
If you don't allow people to do that, and if you take the money from them, if you take their leisure time, if you take their, which is their life,
if you cap their emissions,
well, that's kind of a roundabout way to do it, right?
Well,
and of course, any country, I don't care who it is, any country starting out, any third world, fourth world, or tenth world country starting out, has to engage in pollution first in order to get to the rich enough to do the no pollution, because stopping pollution is capital intensive. If you have no capital, you don't stop it. End of story. It's just the way it works.
And technology is helping that out.
But technology involves capitalism, involves investment. You can't do it without it. Now, one of the nice things, of course, about being in a third world country today, if you'd let them alone, is they can come over here and for very little money get a hold of the technology.
Exactly.
And the internet. And they could do it.
Right.
But the problem is that the people, the government people, want to stay in power. And if they empower the individuals under them, that they think that takes away power from them. Mm-hmm. And being the selfish, narcissistic people that they are, they won't let that happen. And they become dictators and totalitarian. Our 7 minutes are up.
Yep.
Woo!
Roll a little Britannia here.
Right.
Come lay your money down.
Two new Muslim holidays in New York.
We can come back. We're just taking a break.
We'll be back.
Oh,
that's part one.
That's part one.
Jimmy Dolan Show.
Oh, okay.